Does a handy guy need a table saw? Find out next on the Handy Guys Podcast.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast, where we work together on that honey-do list, featuring head-to-head tool challenges and your questions. Here are the Handy Guys themselves, Brian and Paul.
Welcome to the Handy Guys Podcast. This is episode number 50. My man.
Has it been 50 episodes?
It's 50 episodes, Brian. Can you believe it? Wow. It is 50. You know, we ought to have a little toast for
all
that.
All right, toast.
All right.
Why don't spill it on the mixing board?
Well, you know, we thank our listeners for checking out our shows. We appreciate it. It's been 50 good shows. And you know what? Don't forget to check out our website, www.handyguyspodcast.com.
It's got a new look to it.
It's got a new look. It has all of our episodes on it. You can continue to listen to any of our episodes or read the write-ups for each episode. You can see some of our user comments and other things that are on there. You can also subscribe to our podcast.
Listener comments, Paul.
Yeah, listeners. Did I say user comments again? I have to apologize, Brian. You know, in the last couple shows, and I think I did it earlier on in our podcast, I referred to our listeners as users, and I apologize to our listeners. It's all because I'm a network administrator and an IT director, and we refer to those people that use our network as users. So, you know, perhaps if you're using our website, handyguyspodcast.com, you are a user, but in reality, I should refer to you as our listeners.
That's right.
And I do appreciate checking out our podcast. And you can also search our site. There's a search box. You can subscribe using the email subscription, which just notifies you of a show when it comes out. You can also use the iPod subscription or the RSS feed subscription, which allows you to have the podcast automatically downloaded to your MP3 or iPod device automatically each week.
That's right.
So, Brian, why don't you hand out the contact information?
You can always call us at area code 615-676-0877. So if you're listening in your car, just pick up your cell phone and call us, even just to say hi. We'd appreciate it. So that number is 615-676-0877. Or just fill out the contact form at www.handyguyspodcast.com.
So whether you're a listener or a user, go ahead and contact us. We've had some interesting comments and questions and contacts in the recent weeks. And we had an interesting one not too long ago, Brian. It was back on December 30th regarding table saws. And up next, we'll address that issue.
It's time for listener questions with the Handy Guy.
Brian, we got this question. It says, let's see here. It's from, does he give us his name? Bill.
Bill.
There it is. Why don't you go ahead and read the question?
Okay. Bill says, hey, I'm just getting into woodworking and I'm looking to build a TV cabinet and a wall-sized bookcase. I know when I do something, I go all out. I have all the other tools I need except a table saw. I'm looking for a good table saw recommendation at around the $400 price range. Thanks and keep up the great show.
All right. We got to take a step back from this, Brian. Before we can answer Bill's question, and we'll try to do that before the end of this podcast,
right.
I think it's only fair to our listeners, notice I got that right, that we address the whole issue of table saws and whether a handy guy or handy gal even needs a table saw around the house or in the garage. I think it would be fair for us to address that issue because we've, you know, looked at what tools the handy guy needs. We had a whole show on the handy guy toolkit, right?
That's right.
And we've talked about some power tools, the basic power tools
right,
that you
drills,
need.
Drills, reciprocating saws, jigsaws, things like that.
And the table saw has not been on that list.
No, it has not.
And so it would be fair to our audience probably to address the whole topic of table saws, because if you go to your home center, you may see one or you'll hear them talked about, and you may ask yourself that question, do I need a table saw?
Right.
So today we're going to deal with the whole topic of table saws from sort of a bird's eye view on,
right.
You know, get you an introduction to the table saw.
Right. So we'll talk about what the different kinds of table saws are and what they're really good for and what they're not good for. And then go from there.
Okay. But first, we want to address that question is, does the handy guy need a table saw? Do they, Brian?
Do they? It depends. Right?
How much money you have?
It depends on how much money you have, how much room you have to store it. If you're actually setting up sort of a handy guy, handy gal shop in the part of the garage or part of the basement, and what projects you expect moving forward.
Okay, so why would you need a table saw? Let's address that question, and then maybe that'll help us decide whether the handy guy or handy gal needs one. For instance, obviously, if you're, it should be obvious, maybe it's not to everyone, but if you're a cabinet maker or something like that, where you're dealing with a lot of woodworking and cabinetry, a table saw becomes a critical tool.
So forth, yes.
But for the handy person around the house, when might you need a table saw?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind when we were thinking about this ahead of time was if you're installing flooring, wood flooring, real wood flooring, the laminate flooring, engineered wood flooring, something like that, you always have to rip those boards to come up against the wall. Maybe we need to define that term, ripping, too.
Yeah, what is ripping versus a cross cut or...
Right. So ripping means you've got a length of wood or length of a board, let's say you got a 4-foot piece of flooring, and you need to cut it lengthwise.
Right.
Not across, but lengthwise. So you need to make it skinnier. Table saw is the perfect tool to do that safely.
And you don't want to rip your hand off.
That's right. So circular saws are not ideal for that unless you've got a guide of some type to make that long cut.
Yeah, and if you want to make exactly, either want to buy a commercial guide or make your own, which you can do with plywood, if you're going to rip boards with a circular saw, because it can be very dangerous, and there's plenty of websites online which can teach you how to do that.
That's right.
But so to rip boards safely. Now, when might you need to rip a board for a project around the house?
Right, beyond the flooring.
The flooring, you gave that example. What else?
Okay. Well, when I was finishing my basement, I had a little entry door into the utility area that was underneath the soffit. And I had a very low ceiling just in that one little spot where I wanted the door. And the trim at the top of the door needed to be ripped down, made a little bit skinnier. So I only had room for about 2 inches of trim above the door, and the trim comes 2.25, 2.5 inch, something like that. So I had to rip that piece of trim down. There's another example of when I used a table saw.
So when you need a table saw, what I found, and I had similar situations when I finished my basement and have done some other work around the house, when you need it, there's nothing like it. It makes a job, you know, maybe you just need to rip a fraction of an inch off of a piece of a wood, the length of a board, it makes it very easy. I really couldn't do it with another tool very easily. You know, if I had a jig for my circular saw, maybe I could do it, but I could just go out in the garage and do it. But I have space for the table saw, although it does take up a lot of space, at least the model I have, and I can do it. But what I find, Brian, is that you use it so rarely, you're better off, hopefully, with a neighbor or friend that has a table saw.
Sure.
If you're just a handy guy and don't want to make that investment, then if you can use someone else's, there's for those few times you actually need it, then maybe you're in a better situation there.
That's right. I had a neighbor come to me. They were putting in a new slide-out shelves in their kitchen. So they were taking the regular shelves out of the cabinet and putting ones with rollers in.
Mm-hmm.
And they bought a little kit from IKEA or something like that. And it was supposed to fit, but it didn't. And we had to cut all of the drawer bottoms and panels to the right size to rebuild them correctly so they would fit. And a table saw was perfect for that. I could take an 18-inch wide board that was 20 inches deep or whatever it was, 12-inch wide by 20 inches deep, and cut it down to 11 inches wide. And I could do that safely and cleanly and nice and neat with the table saw.
Well, Brian, that reminds me of an old segment. I think we need to bring it back.
Go for it.
Buy, borrow, rent, or steal with the Handy Guys.
The buy, borrow, rent, or steal segment, Brian, we don't actually suggest stealing anything.
No, no,
that's
no.
Just our little joke. But we've already talked about buying versus borrowing. If you can borrow someone's table saw, but obviously it would have to be someone that's nearby unless they have a portable model, that if you have access to one, that may be the way to go. But the question is, maybe buy versus rent. Is a table saw something that you can rent when you need it? Is that a viable option? I guess my concern about it is that when I use it, it's just for quick cuts here and there.
Right.
You know, it's not like I have a table saw project where you
right.
need it for
I would think if you were going to do flooring all weekend, let's say, then perhaps renting one If you knew you had a start and a stop time, you knew you were going to start early Saturday morning, you picked it up Friday night, you returned it Monday on your way to work, something like that, maybe that would be useful. So that might be a situation when you rent it. And the kind that you rent at the home center is going to be a portable table saw, not the kind of table saw you want for, you know, fancy woodworking projects, building furniture and cabinetry and things like that.
It's a tabletop model. You have to set it on some sort of workbench.
And now they're coming with portable stands, and they're attached. They're bolted on, and they kind of are like scissor stands, and they can raise up. And those are great for moving around to different job sites and different, you know, where you're working. Very, very handy.
They're handy, but you also, you know, they're good for cutting pine boards and maybe some of your laminates. But I imagine they'd have a difficult time if you had a big piece of cherry or something like that trying to run it through it.
Right. They're not going to have the horsepower to run a big, heavy piece of wood through there. And they're not going to have the cleanliness of a cut and the quality of a cut and the precision of a heavier duty, more professionally oriented table saw.
So it sounds like for most people, unless you have a specific project and there aren't that many that are really geared just for the table saw, that you're going to want to either buy it or borrow it.
Right. Not for the average homeowner, do it yourself, or handy guy, handy gal. Table saw is certainly not at the top of the list.
Okay. So maybe if you also want to explore cabinetry work or other types of woodworking, then...
then you got a whole lot more options.
And that, you know, Bill, who asked the question, which we're going to address here in a little while, that's what he wants to do. He wants to build a TV cabinet and things like that. And then it becomes a central and, you know, primary tool for that type of work.
Correct.
Okay. So, Brian, for the handy guy, if they do decide that he or she wants to get a table saw...
Mm-hmm.
Then what we want to talk about next is, you know, how do you even begin? Because I know there's it's like, you know, buying sneakers. There's 20 different kinds of styles, let alone brands, let alone, you know, manufacturers, et cetera. So we'll talk about that up next.
You are listening to the Handy Guys Podcast.
All right, Brian, table saws.
Yep.
Where do I start?
Okay. So the first thing you're going to do is ask yourself, what are you going to use it for? If you're going to buy one, what are you going to use it for? If it's going to be for those occasional jobs around the house, portability is going to be important. You want to bring it to the work area, and precision is not necessarily the number one criteria, then the portable contractor saws are pretty decent. You've got them in various colors, orange, blue, yellow.
It's always important.
Right.
Can you get them to match my other tools?
Right. And
price range.
Right. Those are going to be under $500.
Yeah, you can find them probably as cheap as, what, $150 for the really, well, those, for the kind that we don't advise you get, for the kind that take fingers off real well.
The most important criteria on any table saw, in my opinion, this is just Brian speaking, but is the quality of the fence. When you go to lock it in, let's say you want to lock it in at 2 inches from the blade, and you push the little lever down to lock it in, is that going to be perfectly parallel every time you lock it in, perfectly parallel to the blade? That's a critical safety feature. And those little $100, $150 table saws will not reliably do that.
They're not only that, but they're hard to get, like, even latched in. I've played with some of them, you know, you'll see them at the home center, and they have these things sitting out there, and it's kind of like worthless, the fence.
Right.
But you can get, I know that some folks, what is that one model you see a lot of people? Is it the Ryobi, or it makes a table saw?
They used to make one. It was called the BT3000 or something like that, right, from Ryobi.
There's like dedicated, you know, user groups and forums on the web for that model.
Right, right. They don't make that one anymore. That was a pretty decent, inexpensive saw. But, you know, the ones with the built-in stands that can collapse up and kind of fold up, they're built pretty well, and they're going to be, like I said, under $400 or $500.
Right. I mean, I'm finding, you know, as low as $100 on Amazon.com, but a lot of those models, like you said, have terrible fences. They're not stable. I mean, it's a device that you really need to be stable, and you don't want to bounce around.
Weight is important. Actually having weight to the table saw is very helpful.
So you probably want to look for some of the better brands of contractor saws. And like you said, you're really going to get something that starts to be decent when you get to plus 300 range.
Yep.
In those models. And they're the portable models. And like you said, they have folding stands with them, or you can sit them right down on the ground or on a bench. And then where do we go from there if you want to go
the next
a little
step
higher
up,
level?
They call them... From a portable contractor saw, the next one up is, they call it a contractor saw. And those have a fixed base. You'll get a heavier, maybe a cast iron top or a cast aluminum top. Those are also going to be probably $400, $500, maybe $600, $700. They're going to have more powerful motors. The motors on these are going to be belt driven instead of direct driven, which has some advantages in transferring power to the blade. And, but they're not as portable.
Okay.
They are, you know, two guys can pick it up and easily put it on the back of a pickup truck.
Right.
You could move it around in your garage, if you needed to, but it's not something you're going to carry down the basement, carry from job site to job site. If you're working on different projects at different people's houses and things like that.
I know a lot of homeowners will get the contractor grade models because they're cheaper. And if you're not, you know, doing woodworking all the time, their prices, because of that price difference, it might make sense. But you do have some trade-offs, and that if it's you're using it in your garage and you're not moving it, because of the way it's set up, you don't have an enclosed cabinet like a cabinet saw, so you have issues of collecting the dust, and you know, you just don't have as stable of a platform.
That's right. But kind of the starting point for woodworking.
Right.
Would be what they call the contractor saw.
Right. And then you go up from going up from contractor saws to the next level.
The next level used to be what they called a cabinet saw. So you had these big saws like would be in woodworkers' cabinet shops.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about those in a moment. But there's a new class of saw kind of in between the contractor and cabinet saw called a hybrid. And what that is it has a base cabinet which adds stability and weight and dust collection capabilities below the table, like a cabinet saw, but it has some of the mechanisms more like a contractor saw in the way the motor is mounted and so forth. Doesn't quite have the horsepower, but has those dust collection benefits. They're going to be about $900 or...
Right.
Or
almost as much as the cabinets, but I've seen some really nice, slick of those, the models of the hybrids that have come out, and just in the last couple, like you said, it's kind of a newer variety in the last two to three, 4 years, something like that, maybe more. I guess my time kind of flies here.
Right, and then the cabinet saw is the Mac Daddy, and those are on sale starting at about $1,000, and they go on up to $2,000-$3,000. So not your typical homeowner. Do-it-yourselfer jobs around the house. But if you're building furniture and you want to do that as a serious hobby, cabinet saw is certainly the way to go.
Typically, the cabinet saws are 3 horsepower and above, and then you're going to need 240 power.
220 volt.
Well, 220, depending 220, on...
220, 240 volt power.
Depending on how you... Is it 110 or 120? Well, it depends about voltage drop. Anyway, whether you want to call it 220 or 240, but you're going to need a special breaker and a special outlet, so you're not going to be able to plug it into your standard outlet. So you have to consider electricity to wherever your shop is if you're going to use it. And that's why, even more so, in addition to weight and other things, it's not a portable saw. You can't just take it somewhere and plug it in because you need a special plug for it.
Exactly.
So, okay, so that would be the high end, like you said, the Mac Daddy, and it's a pleasure to use one of them. That's all I can say, because of
it's smooth.
Yeah. It's just every part of it works a lot better, and you know, once you use one, it's hard to use one of the lower end models. All right, up next, let's talk about what you do once you get your table saw.
Great.
Don't know where to get reliable answers for your do-it-yourself projects? Why not search the Handy Guys Archive at handyguyspodcast.com.
All right, Brian, I got my table saw, whether it be a lower end model or a cabinet saw. What am I supposed to do once I get it? Do I just start ripping wood with it, or what?
Every saw is going to come with a series of instructions on how to do the initial setup. There's a few things. We're not going to get into all the details on the podcast, so check with the manufacturer of the saw. But I already mentioned one, that's making sure the blade is parallel to the fence. That's adjustable, and different saws have different ways of checking that and moving that. You want to make sure when the blade is at 90 degrees that it's really at 90 degrees and it's not at 91 degrees or 92 degrees. You want to make sure if you're going to use the miter sled, what do
gauge.
They call it?
The miter gauge.
Thank you, Paul.
Sometimes it's a sled. But.
Yeah. The miter gauge, which is for doing cross cuts on a table saw, that is perpendicular right. to the blade. So those are some of the critical things to check.
Those are the critical things. There's some other items to be aware of. One is, you know, even when you get a higher end saw, and especially if you get a cheap saw, you know, you'll get some cheap components like the miter gauge, even on a high-end cabinet saw, is often something you just need to put aside and never use again because, you know, they're just not very good. They'll use some, you know, not as so good components. The safety guard on a lot of saws, we're not going to tell you not to use it, but we will say do some research because in some cases, well, the safety guard, you can't use it for cross cuts and things like that.
Where would you do some of that research, Paul?
Well, we're going to talk about that, but you can go to woodwhisperer.com is a great place to start. The Wood Whisperer has a lot of video casts and podcasts discussing safety, how to use safety guards using riving knives and splitters and other techniques for making your experience using a table saw, which is one of the most dangerous tools, safer. So we definitely recommend that you check that out. I mentioned a book last week, the table saw book, it's put out by Taunton Press. That's a good book. You need to check these things out before you begin to use a table saw because there's a lot of safety considerations when using that tool.
Absolutely. And also when you're over at Wood Whisperer, you might get inspired on some projects. He's a pretty decent woodworker and he'll show you some neat techniques and some neat projects.
All right, Brian, we've addressed hopefully, you know, a great summary of the table saw and whether the handy guy needs it. Now, just to tell our listeners what we have, we both happen to have lower-end cabinet saws, 3 horsepower. I think they're identical models because when you got yours, my wife decided, oh, I'm going to get my husband a nice Christmas gift this year, and
right.
We're still paying for it, I think. But and so she just got the same model, and it's a great model. It's a Grizzly 3 horsepower cabinet saw.
Yeah, I think it's a model 1023 or something like that.
And I know it's gone up a lot in price since we bought them 5 years ago or whatever. But so, you know, we're both thrilled with our saws, but there are other great ones out there. So, you know, perhaps some users can comment on this post if they have recommendations on various models.
Yeah, I think for Bill, we looked at a number of different options for him. And there's a model by Rigid. I think it's being phased out, but it was called the, we'll give this specific model, the TS3650. And those go on sale for about $500, not $400. But they've gotten some great reviews. The fence is rock solid, and it's got a built-in rolling base and so forth. So that's going to be the cheapest new saw you could get to do the woodworking that Bill wants to do. And I'd recommend Bill also go see what Wood Whisperer has to say about setting those saws up.
The handy guys are brilliant.
So that's our long answer to Bill's question, the roundabout way of answering it. But Brian, let me ask you this. If you are looking to get a table saw, what about used saws? Should you consider, you know, looking at Craigslist or eBay or some other source, your local Penny Pincher magazine, garage sales?
Yes and no. Yes and no. You can find some old, you know, commercial woodworking equipment from time to time on Craigslist. You know, some serious big iron, heavy duty stuff.
Rusty.
You know, and restoring it, you know, there's people that's their hobby. They restore those things, you know. And sometimes you can find one that's in pretty decent shape. Even something that came out of an old wood shop class for a industrial arts program at the local community college or something.
Yeah. The Finger Eater Model 10. You know?
Right. Those are great finds if you can find one that's pretty decent. But you're going to see a lot of, probably 90% of what you're going to see on there is Craftsman.
Yeah.
And a lot of the Craftsman saws, I don't want to badmouth Craftsman per se, but a lot of the Craftsman saws you're going to want to avoid. They're just not up to the task and don't have the safety features of the newer saws.
Now, Brian, if you're looking for new, there is another brand, which we haven't mentioned yet, and I'll throw them out there. They're not a sponsor of our show or anything, but just for safety's sake, check out SawStop.com. It's a new technology where if you accidentally get your hand, if it actually accidentally touches the blade of the saw, it will immediately stop in just a split second so fast that you will get nothing more than a little nick on your hand.
Like a little scratch.
Yeah, I mean, they have videos on there, you know, putting a hot dog up against the thing and it stops so fast that it doesn't even do damage to the hot dog.
Yeah.
So it's an amazing technology. It's an expensive saw.
They have two models. They've got a contractor model.
Yep.
Which is relatively new, and they've got the cabinet model.
So they finally came out with a contractor. They've been talking about that for a long time.
Yep, they finally have. And I think the contractor model is about $2,200 to $2,500, and cabinet style is probably $3,000 to $4,000 in that price range.
Are they that much, man? They've gone up since the last time I checked.
I think so. Don't hold me to that, Paul. But
I know they're pricey, but I will say, besides that technology of the saw stop, they are good saws. They use good components and have other good safety features. So I've heard great reviews about these saws in addition to that safety feature. So check it out at sawstop.com. And I think that's all we have for this episode. So hopefully you'll learn a little bit. You've learned a little bit about table saws. If you have any other tidbits of information you want to share with us, please comment on this episode right on our website.
All right. Thanks.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
The Handy Guys would like to thank our sponsors.
Water Damage Local.
Immediate response for water damage restoration.